Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions. With Amanda Howard and Robert McKnight.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Monsters Who Murder. As usual, I'm joined by the serial killer whisperer, Amanda Howard.
Hello, Robert. Oh, I love when you're excited. It just makes me so happy that we get to do this together. And it's always the highlight of my week, regardless of when we end up filming and recording. But it's always the highlight of my week.
Indeed, life gets in the way sometimes, so that does happen. But I'm interested in this case. Tim Jones, part one was quite intriguing. I'm fascinated to see where part two goes.
Yeah, and you're going to get angry me again because, yeah, there's people like this that just don't deserve to breathe, I think, and he's one of them. And, you know, I know that it's weird that we do horrible people every single week on this show, but, you know, it's kids and you'll always get me with the kids.
Yeah. How do we know when angry Amanda steps in?
Oh, shush, Robert.
How do we know the difference?
I'm passionate. I like to say I'm passionate.
Indeed you are. Look, that is coming up a little bit later, but first let's get into our news section. And a horror film fan accused of murdering a woman and chopping her into 11 pieces is alleged to have raped a second victim near a canal and threatened to kill her, a jury has heard. Metro reports Nathan Maynard Ellis, 30, is alleged to have told the assault victim where he would hide her body if he killed her. Coventry Crown Court was told 42-year-old Julia Rawson was killed after she was lured to a flat of horrors in Tipton, West Midlands, in May 2019. The trial earlier heard that Maynard Ellis was said to be obsessed with violence and serial killers, with the flat containing stuffed animals, live snakes in tanks, spiders on the walls, and gory homemade masks of characters in horror films. So, Amanda, what comes first? The obsession with horror, which creates the killer, or the killer who finds an obsession with horror?
I have to start by taking offence to this because everything that was in that guy's apartment is in my house. So I just have to put that out there. Like, I'm sitting in a room. I have three life-size serial killers with their, you know, homemade masks and homemade costumes, and I have my mice in jars and all of this sort of stuff. But sorry, just to be
more serious. Well, you have threatened to kill me from time to time.
Oh, well, you know, you've probably deserved it. I think when it comes to this, it is the chicken or the egg argument. But, you know, they love to paint pictures of people who love horror and love gore are going to become killers. Like, I enjoyed watching Human Centipede. I'm actually Twitter friends with Tom Six, who did those films. You know, I've seen Hostel too many times, probably, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses, all these sorts of things. And I find them okay. It doesn't mean I'm going to go and become a killer.
I've never bought into this theory violent films creates violent people. I think if that is within you, then perhaps it might draw it out. But the 99.9% of the population aren't going to be affected by this material. It's that one person who already has that in them.
Exactly. You know, like I watched Silence of the Lambs and wanted to be Clarice Starling. Someone else is going to watch Silence of the Lambs and want to be Hannibal Lecter, and we've seen it time and again. But yes, with the amount of sales, the amount of views, you know, violent video games, violent films, violent books does not make a serial killer. And, you know, but this is just something, this flat of horrors, house of horrors, you know, that they love to jump on. It's just a media beat up for a case because probably they didn't have much else to talk about, so let's talk about his decor. I mean, God forbid I get done for a crime. When you look at my house, there are going to be photos everywhere. Guys, you'll get the exclusive and someone here can write the book.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on. And a cold case in the US has been solved. According to CNN, the remains of a woman found in Georgia almost 40 years ago have finally been identified. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says her name was Patricia Parker, and GBI investigators believe she was the victim of serial killer Samuel Little. Now, Little has confessed to killing five women in the Georgia-Tennessee area, including Parker, according to the FBI. Now, Amanda, when you watched the police interviews with Little, he really loved his power over women, didn't he?
He does, and he is reveling in what he's actually doing now. So this has been an absolute pleasure for him to go through these confessions. We rarely see a killer like this, and this is basically him in his natural environment, you know, and being offered, you know, the paints and the papers and saying, paint what you saw, what was happening, because he not only painted victims but also scenery and cars that he saw or what he was driving at the time. So this is all about that control, and now he's expanding that control beyond the victims that he has basically kept as part of him, because it's now part of almost folklore. And he's loving that they're actually identifying these people, because it's justification for all of his thrill seeking that he was after all these years of not being found. I mean, he had been incarcerated several times before, but this is the biggie now.
Now, we've spoken about Little quite a bit since his arrest, and he's had a lot of victims. I always worry in my head when you talk about the fact they try to pin everything on a serial killer because they can just tick a lot off their list. This does seem legit, though. He is literally talking about these cases and giving specific details.
Oh, absolutely. When this case first broke, I thought, yeah, here we go again. We've got another Henry Lee Lucas who confessed to 350, then 605, and all of this ridiculous numbers. And I think they're down to maybe he killed one person. Maybe. And so when this case first broke, I thought, here we go again. Someone's going to confess to everything, because basically all of the bureaus of investigation from around the country packed up their cold cases and come to see him. You know, and I thought they're just going to go, how about this person? How about this person? How about this person? And they weren't successful doing that. It was when he actually started to sit down and gave details. They weren't always accurate. And so then you have to sort of worry a bit about some of that. But they've been able to pinpoint a lot of these purely because of things like the car he was driving at the time.
Right.
And, you know, there is a crossing that goes over a creek at this area. And so there was those smaller details that then fit into the puzzle that he was trying to create. So, yeah, it's been the opposite. Rather than them trying to solve cases, he's actually giving them the cases. Then they have to go and find what's cold.
Very, very interesting. Hey, what was also very interesting was our one-on-one chat with Alyssa we just had before we recorded this episode tonight. And that's what you can get just by joining our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions for a range of rewards depending on the tier you decide to take out. But, Amanda, one of the things that I've been talking about this for a while that excites me is your Facebook group chat for everyone on the $10 plus tier.
Yes, so we're doing lots of different things in there. I did do this whole video the other day for them on my John Wayne Gacy original paintings, but that failed, so I'm going to have to redo it all. And when I filmed it, I got covered in black paint from the item, so that's going to be fun to do again. But we get to play games. Like last week we played Guess the Serial Killer Moustache, and we have some women in this group. Oh, my God, they put me to shame. They're quick. Like it take me like 6 hours to put together a collage, and it took them like 12 seconds to solve it, and I thought it was tough. But anyway, it just proves that I have to give them more credit and I have to go real hard. So we have some coming up, like I guess the serial killer car, guess the serial killer house, and things like that as well. So it's not just, all crime and boring. I mean,
yeah, but it's
crime,
chatting,
but
it's a real community where you're talking about news that's happening and all these different things. You're getting bonus material that you're supplying. And we were just talking about after last week where I was doing the voices, in that chat we just did, we were talking about putting the video up if we can find it. So, if we can find it,
Robert, you will find that for me because I think on Patreon, I think because we have had massive conversations about Robert being a serial killer and a police officer in one conversation, it is a marvel to witness. So I thoroughly enjoyed watching Robert do it. And so I think it's just a pleasure that we're going to give to our Patreon subscribers to actually have a look at.
I think you're building this up way too much.
No, it's good, Robert. It's what I fell in love with you about in the first place, because he used to do this in history class, and it's just I've always wanted to see him do it, and he's done a couple of accidents in the past that weren't quite successful.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lazzy.
And I think Judge Robert might need a couple of accents where we might have to go to County Cork or, you know, somewhere where you can do an accent.
That was my South African accent.
Okay.
All right. You can get access to all of that simply by going to patreon.com/MWM Confessions. We'll be right back with our psychological profile of the week, Tim Jones, part two.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ben, Rob, and Robbo. It's the most talked about TV show that's not on TV.
And I think you guys are amazing.
With raw, honest opinions.
This was not a mistake. This was a lie.
Exclusive stories.
Some industry insiders have been talking about this.
Is that a Ben, Rob, and Robbo exclusive?
And plenty of famous faces.
I'm not wasting these gold moments on 60 Minutes.
The Ben, Rob, and Robbo Show is the new way to stream your news.
This is the stuff that headlines are made of.
Live every Monday to Thursday at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on Ticker TV or Facebook and Twitter at BRR Show. Watch live or on demand.
It's the Ben, Rob and Robbo, Ben, Rob and Robbo, Ben, Rob and Robbo Show.
This week on Monsters Who Murder, we continue our examination of the murders of 8-year-old Mira, 7-year-old Elias, 6-year-old Nathan, 2-year-old Gabrielle, and 1-year-old Abigail Elaine at the hands of their father, Timothy Jones. Jones, from South Carolina, was a devout Christian and used religious instruction as a reason to systematically beat his children, with the final fatal consequences. So let's pick up where we left off last time as the agent continues the interrogation, asking about the second shopping excursion and what he did next.
Now we go to the following day. This is going to be the 4th. This is at the Dollar General store, and we're still in Orangeburg, South Carolina. What do you purchase there that we spoke about?
Excuse me.
What's this here?
Some bag, trash bags.
Trash bags. Why'd you buy those trash bags? To do what now?
Put the bodies.
Put the bodies.
Okay, to throw some of my own trash out too.
Okay.
I had a lot of stuff in the vehicle I was trying to throw out.
Now, you said you're just driving around. You had the bodies in the car, and where were you going at that time?
Nowhere, I guess, because in my mind I'm just running. I have nowhere to go.
Because you didn't plan this.
I didn't plan this. No, it's just like
spontaneous.
This is spontaneous, and I just fucked up my whole life.
So, Amanda, he fucked up his whole life. Do you think there's remorse in there, or is it self-interest?
Absolutely self-interest. I mean, he's a total narcissist, and, you know, he talks about getting garbage bags, and he does that quick whimper, odds for the kids, you know, oh yeah, but I had other rubbish too I'm just going to toss out, so, you know, I needed more than that, you know, rather than thinking that he's considering, well, I need like 20 bags to put all different pieces in and all this sort of stuff. You know, the agents know that he's a narcissist. They know that he has only self-interest involved here, you know, and they don't question those statements because they don't want him to try and quantify it, saying, oh yeah, but I really meant this, you know, because if they do, then he's going to sort of start realizing that they're questioning what he's saying and if it's truthful. So they just let him go with it because they know it's planned. They know that he knew exactly what he was doing and that this was all just part of his revenge against his wife. And this has nothing to do with an accidental death that had anything to do with PowerPoints or electrolytes.
Right. Well, the interview continues, and it's now more than a week later since he put the bodies in the car. But when you think it can't happen, things get a whole lot worse.
One bad incident, and I'm not following through with what I should have, and I've...
Now, we spent some time really trying to figure out where your children are at.
Yeah.
What did we kind of come up with?
Looking somewhere on Route 10 between, I think, Greenville and Camden.
Well, let's go back to September 5th, yeah. Friday night. What did you tell us happened Friday night?
September 5th?
That was when you said your vehicle got stuck? Tell us about that.
I pulled off to the side at somebody's house to try to collect myself to see where I was at.
Yeah.
And in the process of pulling back onto the road, I got stuck in a ditch.
You got stuck, and what happened?
The tow truck had come on. He called a wrecker.
All right. Did you have any law enforcement contact that night?
A law enforcement just showed up on his own. He was patrolling him.
Okay. Can you describe what he looked like?
Probably about maybe 5'10", shaved hair, Caucasian male.
Okay.
When you have contact with this officer, where are your children?
In the car.
Okay, they're dead in the car.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they're still where you set them.
Yes, sir.
What's going on in that car since they've been sitting for so long? I mean, this, you kill them on Thursday.
No, they weren't sitting there. Some of the time I took a couple days and just stayed home.
Okay. Did you leave them in the vehicle?
Or were they in the house at that time?
I think they were in the vehicle and I was just sitting there.
Not what you think. We want to know what the truth is.
I believe that they were in the vehicle.
But you're talking about the weekend it happened.
Yes, and I was just sitting there thinking, what am I going to do?
Okay. Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
Does it tie this together? Because that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Tim. All I'm saying from that Thursday, though, the 28th, and you say after all this happens, you place their bodies in the vehicle.
Yes.
Between then and the time you come with in contact with the officer, and that would be Friday on September 5th, so we have over a week's time that has passed by, your children are still in the vehicle. Is that correct?
What date?
Friday. When you have contact with the law.
Yeah, so the next Saturday was, yeah.
Okay, so they're in the vehicle the whole time. What's kind of happening in the vehicle? As far as, how does it smell in there?
Stinks like shit.
What's happening with the children? You were telling me before.
But I just, the blood was probably just coming out of their bodies because I just left them in there. And I believe that, as far as I know, I think when your body dies, blood and water separate. I think that's...
Now, we had asked, because you purchased the saws and everything, had you used any of the saws on your children?
I think I tried to start on the ton and I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Okay. And we'll get to where that happens.
Okay, so he tried to cut up his son Natan. It really just defies belief.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a long time for them to get him there, and you can see that they're fishing for this answer because we know that this is a second recording. We know that the first recording didn't work, and so they had to go and redo this. So they know the answers that he's going to say, and that's why they keep pushing him and pushing him, you know. But listening to this and knowing that these little children are rotting in his car, you know, it's not about blood and water separating. It's about decomposition. There's a whole lot more going on besides blood. And, you know, it smells like shit. Like he's talking
about
his children.
That would have been so bad, the smell.
It's if you've smelt a dead body, and I have, not a fresh one, it is quite horrific. And it is something that basically whatever you're wearing when you see that, you have to throw out.
What about the police officer he spoke to?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Could you imagine how freaked out he was? Because there's an APB out on him at this point because they know that he's taken off with the kids. And, you know, so there's all this stuff going on. So the fact that he's gotten stuck, you know, Toey's turned up to help him and, you know, what's going on? And this officer's, you know, you're going, okay, mate. And he's been able to convincingly just say, yeah, I'm fine, you know, that thanks for stopping by. But had he opened any of those doors at any of that time, that cop would have smelled that. And I'm surprised he couldn't smell it even just standing outside the car. But it's just, you know, this is just evil. And the fact that we get to the place that he says that he was going to cut up. And as we can see, it's the same boy that he murdered first. So poor Natan is the absolute focus of most of his rage and horror and his evilness, for want of a better term. We see that, you know, if he's going to harm anyone further post-mortem, it's going to be Natan. And, like, when this is all going on in the courtroom, Jones is weeping. He's absolutely sobbing his heart out, listening to himself, you know. And it's I mean, as I said, I say that he's weeping, but the handkerchief that he is holding and has been holding for half an hour at this point is bone dry. It's still quite solid, you know, it's nicely folded and everything. There's not a tear in sight. There is not that, you know, that bloodshot that you get. This is all just part of the game. And he swings between these emotions the whole time. You know, when we see people crying and in court and things like that, you know, you play with that handkerchief or that tissue. You fold it, you unfold it, you scrunch it up, you move to another corner, you do all of this sort of stuff. He's nothing. He doesn't fidget. He just sits there and knows that he's basically on show and he's basically bored that people aren't believing him. I mean, at one point in that piece just there, he says, that's right, isn't it? You know, like, that's what you want me to say here. You know, he's just trying to be justified, and they don't respond to it. They just sort of get him to say what they need him to say.
Well, they get to the day of Jones's arrest after he had dumped the bodies.
So let me ask you, so you have contact with the law enforcement officer Friday night. The children are still in the vehicle. That would have been on the 5th.
The 5th, yes.
Saturday is when you get picked up here.
The 6th.
That's going to be the 6th. That's Saturday. But that Saturday morning, we look at this receipt. And this is where?
The Greenville, Alabama.
Greenville, Alabama. And what do you remember what you buy there?
10 packs of cigarettes and some Zuzus and Wham Whams.
Okay. And I just see grocery, so I don't know what you purchased there.
Candy bars. But,
and if the time on the receipt is correct, it's telling us 8:18 in the morning.
Yep.
Your children, they're still in the vehicle with you. You're positive about that on Saturday.
Not the whole day, yeah.
Okay, at that time, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go from Greenville, Alabama, and then the next receipt we have is Camden, Alabama. And what do you do in Camden?
I pulled some money out. I was intending to go to Vegas.
Okay. And you take out $500?
$500.
All right. Now, that time is at 1:06 p.m. At that point, were the children in your vehicle?
I don't believe they were. I think that they were gone.
You already disposed of them?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Right.
So,
with that in mind, can you describe to me what you were telling me earlier about where you disposed of your children at?
They're in some wooded road log truck looking thing off on the side in bags.
Was it a two-lane road that this was off of?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. You said it was a heavily wooded area?
It was heavily wooded. It looked like if you went up in the area where I did, it was either like some of the trees got knocked out of the way, like people potentially either starting to clear it or maybe somebody came through there and was bulldozing up ATV path or something. I don't know. It wasn't something that was incorporated. That's kind of what I would say. It was unincorporated.
Unincorporated.
Your children, you do what once you get to this location?
Side.
Okay. Tell us about Natan. Does this happen there? Or does this happen in a separate place? Where
you said you started to cut him.
Oh,
you started.
Does this happen there?
Where did it happen? In the vehicle? Outside of the vehicle?
Outside of the vehicle.
And what do you do?
I began to try to saw a leg, and I couldn't bring myself to finish it. I can't do that.
How far did you get?
Maybe about that far, and I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that to him.
Okay.
I can't do
So you did not cut his leg off?
No.
What did you do with his body?
I just put him in the bag. He said, I gotta send you guys over there. I set up prayer for him and walked away.
Okay. Did you place each child in a separate bag? And then did you walk them a couple at a time or one at a time? Which is it?
A couple at a time. A
couple at a time?
Just however many trips it took to get five of them over there.
Now, we asked if they're going to be essentially all together, if they put them in different places.
No, I put them in the same place. If somebody didn't check the bags and they started looking in there and moving around, I don't know what. Mm-hmm. For all I know, they may not be there.
Okay.
I'm not lying to you that much. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what happened, obviously, between where I put them and the time I'm here now. I don't know if somebody went back and...
You said they just look like they're a pile of...
Five garbage bags.
Five garbage. So it looks like they're just garbage there. Okay.
Isn't it interesting how he goes from crying to absolutely no emotion so quickly? He flicks between the two so easily.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I'm crying. Yeah, no, I definitely did that. You know, it's just, this is how he switches it. He knows what the emotional response is meant to be, but when you aren't actually feeling those emotions, but you're actually trying to convey those, it's actually hard to do. And it's hard to do that while part of your brain is thinking about the story and trying to keep it straight, and the other half is trying to say, now you have to look sad and all of this. So it's quite hard to do. And he gets upset and wants to correct them. And this is what he keeps doing, you know. But it's amazing how, you know, it says groceries here. What did you buy? And, I bought Jim Jims and Jam Jams or whatever those words were, US candies or something. He was adamant about that and said that very quickly. And then were the children still in the car at this point? Oh, I believe so.
Yes,
you know, it's
very
amazing how he can switch between being determined and knows. And, like, his babies are rotting in his car and he's getting money to go to Vegas.
Well, the agents try to finalize the murder details with him.
I was on an aimless path toward Las Vegas. That's why I was doing this. And that explained me going around the major cities.
All right.
And it explains my line of travel, maybe.
Until you get here in Smith County.
And then I didn't intend to get, yeah. And then that's when everything blows up in my face.
Now, you were telling us that was actually in the car. It was not Spice, but they are called...
This is Scooby Snacks.
Okay.
You said locally in Lexington County, you bought those from where?
Time Warp.
And what do they kind of do for you?
They calm the voices down inside my head to let me be at peace and not act on them.
They kind of give you the same high as what drug? I think you're talking about the T. Yeah.
It's like marijuana in the sense that it gives you a high, but it's not the high that I'm looking for. It's the effect of quieting this. It's medication. I know that sounds stupid as hell, but it's why I need to see a doctor.
Okay.
We'll go through these.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, this will answer a lot of that.
Sure.
You got have any other questions?
Well, what I want to do, we'll go through this, but as we've done this today, nobody has threatened you today, and we'll go over this in this forum. Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you think we treated you fair today?
Yes.
All right, you've done the same for us. Have you been completely honest with us?
Yes.
Now, one thing, though, you didn't tell us about taking that saw to Natan, not until we started this tape. You had not mentioned that. But I told you we're gonna perform autopsies on your children. We're going to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me the four children, four of them, we're going to find out that they were suffocated. Now, you're grabbing your hands, you're putting them around your throat. That's what you did?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how you suffocated them? Did you put a pillow over that?
No.
All right, if you could just say out loud what you're doing.
I use my hands to suffocate my kids.
Is there anything else we need to know, Tim, about what happened to them? Anything you may have intended to do to them afterward?
Used a belt too.
How'd you use a belt around their necks? Did you do that with all five children? No.
With who?
Who did you use the belt on?
I forget which ones.
Okay.
I used it.
What is the autopsy going to show with Natan?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you use the belt on him?
It's gonna. I don't know. I didn't use the belt on him. No. I came in and he was gone. And that's when. That's when I went into panic mode, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not sure what the autopsy will show for Natan.
I don't know what it's going to show. I don't know what actually was it. I don't know what his actual cause of death was. That's just the point. And I didn't want to go. I was afraid I was going to just get myself locked up.
Yeah.
Did you use the belt on Eli?
I don't think I did. I think it was just bare hands. I'm 100% sure. I don't want to lie to you. Those memories are clouded.
Well, what about who do you remember using the belt on?
Babies.
On the babies?
Who were the babies, Tim?
Pardon?
Gabriel and Elaine, is that correct? Elaine is also known as Abigail, right?
Okay. And when you say the belt, you put the belt around their...
I used to strangle them.
Used to strangle them. Why didn't you use your hands with them?
I don't know. At that point, I wasn't thinking. At that point, I was just thinking, run, get rid of the bodies, and you're fucked, Tim.
Were the older children... Did they put up a fight?
I mean, what person's not?
Right.
You told us earlier that Eli said something to you before you killed him. What did he say to you?
Take me with Dad.
What do you think Eli meant when he said that?
I think he just wanted to go where I was. He knew Natan was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they...
I don't know exactly what he meant by that. I mean, I don't know where he thought I was going. I didn't even know where I was going at that time. This is just happening. Fuck, it's like my mind, I don't know what to do now.
Did any of the other children say anything before you killed them?
Gabriel said, I love you.
That's a question I was gonna, we're gonna ask you here. Because we've gone over all this, and you've been honest with us. Are we gonna find any of the other children cut up at all? No. You didn't try to burn them at all.
I can't replace them.
Tim, what about the bleach in the vehicle when you got stopped?
Cover up the blood.
To cover up the blood.
So, no, in honest truth, I do like bleach because it makes stuff smell clean.
So you're probably trying to get rid of some of that odor?
Not just that. I mean, no. So, I mean, I would carry it around in the car even if I before because I liked bleach and it made stuff clean. Like, you want to go? That was just me.
Amanda, there's a lot to unpack there. Just when you think he can't get any more depraved, we then hear his children's final words.
Yeah, and their words of love and everything. But this is his story of what's happening now. They actually, during the trial, they actually go through and the cause of death of Natan was strangulation. Wasn't right. Electrolyte imbalance, it wasn't electrocution, it was strangulation. And it was while he was strangling Natan that Mira came in and saw what had happened. And so he strangled her next and it just, well, I don't believe it's called snowballing. I think this is more about that he had nowhere else to go. He had to continue where he started, you know. And he just, you know, claims that he used belts on the younger children. I mean, it defies belief when you're actually trying to stand in that room. And, like, I've looked at crime scene for photos of this and everything, and it's hard to believe that, you know, such tragic things happen in such a horrible place. And it's just, you know, the way he talks about them, and we hear he cries and goes away and cries and goes away, and he's able to recall again other things he bought shopping and all of that once again, and yet when it comes to the actual details, he gets very vague.
Yeah, indeed. And what was weird, that he loves bleach anyway, and he scrubbed his car with bleach, but this was a common practice.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I thought, okay, I'm getting a picture of this guy. You know, he's using bleach, you know, it doesn't mean that you're a psychopath, but, you know, that you're going to, you know, start scrubbing your home and all of this. And I thought, okay, so he's, you know, well, one of those people, you know, unclean, you know, have to bleach everything in sight. So when I looked at the crime scene photos, his car is absolutely destroyed. And yes, he did use bleach, and you can see where there was bodily fluids and decomp happening in the car. But the car was a pigsty. You see pictures of his trailer home, and there's bags of garbage piled up all over the place. And this is not someone who lives his life by bleaching things every week anyway, and this is what
right,
I always do.
Right, gotcha.
It's not. This is about someone who is trying to get away with the murders of his four babies.
Well, in this next section, I want to remind you what we discussed last week. Remember how it took him 3 seconds to answer a question and how long that was, suggesting he was searching for a good enough lie? Remember, that's what Amanda said. Well, listen to this bit, to how he answers without having to look for an answer, and then to the one important question where he does pause.
You're also willing to go with us to try to locate the bodies?
I am, but like I said, I don't know how productive that's going to be. I don't want you guys to get out there. Oh, you're pissing around, wasting our time. No, I'm not. I mean, I drive, but part of that's a blank.
All right, Tim, we ran through these questions earlier. You've heard them all, so there's no surprises. Unfortunately, we got to do it again because of the issue with the recorder. First question is, do you know where you are?
Yes.
Where is that?
Smith County.
Smith County? Do you know who you are?
Tim Jones.
Tim Jones, what's your date of birth, Tim?
12/20/81.
You know why we've been talking to you?
Trying to find out what happened to my kids.
Okay. Do you understand that you've just confessed to a crime?
Yes.
Do you understand that your confession will be used against you
yes.
in court? Did you confess voluntarily?
Yes.
Did anyone threaten you if you didn't confess?
No.
Can you speak a little louder?
No.
No? What do you think will happen to you as a result of confessing to a crime?
I have no clue.
No clue? Okay, fair enough. Why did you decide to confess?
I didn't do the right thing.
To do the right thing? That's exactly what you told me earlier. Do you feel guilty about the crime which you just confessed to?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Oh, yes. A big pause. Big pause.
And this is why they do these gunfire questions. This is why they do it, because someone's going to go, yeah, yeah, Tim Jones, this is my date of birth, this is why I did it, yeah, no one threatened me, no one. And then they throw in a question that they aren't going to expect the answer. They know they're going to ask about the killings and all of that, but that last one, they got him. And did you hear how his voice went? Yes, you know, like
Very believable.
No, and that's how you get them. You know, this is what I do to my kids. I fire questions at them. they know they can't get things past me. You know, but it just proves that he does not feel guilty for these crimes. So that
Amazing.
Is the obvious lie there, and he did this as revenge, and that is how they are able to do this, because the police know, you know, he's playing the game. He's so overconfident and arrogant that he answers them before he's finished, that when it's a question he's not expecting, he falls apart.
Well, then he asks the most important question of all, why?
If so, why?
I thought that I took measures that were extreme, not necessary, because of fear. I fear my life. Because of kids.
Okay. Did you do the crime on purpose?
Natan was an accident.
He was an accident.
That wasn't really an accident. I was just trying to find out what was going on. If you look at that picture of me holding my little son,
Yeah,
it's just a picture of me with the older one trying to say, son, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't tell me, and I don't know if he was messing with the stuff, and so PT took him over the edge.
Natan was an accident, but you murdered the other four children.
Yes.
Okay. Why did you do that? We talked about this earlier.
The voices started kicking and said, you better do something. You're fucking out, Tim.
Okay. What were you trying to accomplish by doing this crime?
I was just trying to flee because I knew my time was short. I was going to get in trouble anyway. I'm not good at being bad. I'm not a good criminal.
When did you decide to do this?
After Natan had been gone, I started listening to what was going on in my head, and I carried it out. I didn't carry out everything, because if I did, I would have carried out what was on those papers. That's the stuff that comes out of my head.
What did you think about your children, just in general?
I think that they were going to have issues like me.
Issues like you? Okay.
I think that they were going to have issues from a broken home. I think that there's genetic diseases that I think that there was some things that my dad, if you guys had seen yesterday, he doesn't know about my mom.
Yeah.
I think that there's things I know about my mom. No, I'm not. I wasn't around when it happened because I think I've got some of what she has.
What kind of people do you think the children were when you committed the crime? I understand this is a weird question for what we're talking about, but we had to ask it earlier, too.
I think they were conspiring.
You think they were conspiring against you?
I definitely seems to make the most sense to me. I mean, why else would somebody go do something like that and not tell me what he's doing?
Did we actually get an answer in there as to why?
Not at all. It's all about him. It's, you know, oh, maybe my parents, you know, handed something down. You know, it's the voices it's in my head. It's you know, his mother and father, you know, he didn't know his dad and, you know, this is probably it's best for his children to be dead because he doesn't want to pass something on to them. I mean, you know, he believes that they're conspiring to kill him. You know, these kids are between 1 and 8. I mean, he's confessing to 4 of the killings and we know there's 5, you know. It's just... And, I mean, I feel for the officers because they have someone who's arrogant. They've got their answers, but they don't at the same time. And that's why they have to keep going. You know, the guy said, yeah, I killed him, but they have to keep going because it can just take the one answer that he isn't having to expect to answer, that he's just going to get thrown and they know that the whole thing may change directions again.
And, of course, he continues with the same rhetoric. He was in danger from his children, as Amanda said.
When you did this, did you think your actions could hurt the children?
Yes.
Yes. So you knew that what you were doing to the children was going to...
I knew that what
was going to harm them or take their lives.
It was to protect myself.
Okay.
I know that sounds fucking pathetic.
Now, when you did this crime, did you know it was wrong?
At the time, I didn't think any of it was wrong. It happened and just... Fuck, I'm happenstance, and let me finish it up now.
Okay. When you did the crime, did you know it was against the law?
At the time, I didn't think about the law, so I'm going to say no.
Okay.
The law didn't come into my mind. I wasn't caring about the law. Dealing with dead children on my hands. Fuck the law. I'm in trouble, man. My kids are dead.
Yeah. Did you think you might get caught?
No, you're fine.
I knew I was going to get caught. I'm not a good criminal. It was a matter of time.
Gotcha. Why did you think that? Just because you weren't a good criminal?
I'm not a good... Grandma's told me something that's the truth. Tim, you ain't... I told it to my kids, too. You guys ain't good. Be bad, so be good.
What did you do to protect yourself from getting caught?
Drive and try to get this guy's the bags and then get rid of the stuff at the house.
What all did you get rid of at the house?
Everything. I gave the neighbor.
You're just saying your general possessions.
Yeah, I just didn't think about keeping my stuff anymore. Well, hell with it.
Yeah.
I gave all my stuff away. I mean, my life's over. That's what I thought about it.
Have there been times you wanted to do something like this but decided against it?
I mean, I've had these thoughts, but none of this happened until this actually materialized. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, why didn't you do that in the past if you've had these thoughts before?
Why didn't I?
Yes.
I didn't have any reason to act on them.
No reason to act on them? Okay. Would you have done this if a uniformed officer had been standing next to you?
Yes.
Even...
I wouldn't have cared. No, man, because...
Elbow to elbow with you, you would have still
done this. I wouldn't have cared, yeah. And here's why. At that point in time, I didn't care because I saw myself as a damn target. And I saw him as having a gun in his hand, if you will. I know he was a kid, but that's how I saw it. Like, shit.
When you say him, you're talking about...
Natan.
And how old is Natan?
6 years old.
6 years old. Did anyone tell you to do this?
The voices inside my head.
Voices in your head. And just confirm the voices in your head are not God.
They're not God. No, God would... No, this ain't Isaac and Abraham.
Okay. When you did this, did you know that society would condemn your actions, even if they knew everything that you know?
I mean, at the time, I sort of didn't care.
You didn't care? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, I felt like I was marked for dead, if you will, and I was just acting accordingly.
Did you have any strange or unusual mental experiences around the time of the crime?
Yes.
If so, what were they and when did they begin?
When he told me what he said?
Yes.
All kinds of stuff started triggering. And then I worked harder to get out of him to try to see if maybe I could put it back together. And then I realized that he's not doing this per se to He's not telling me what's going on because it appears he's got something intended for me, and he doesn't want me to know that it's right for me.
Yeah.
Because normally they're pretty apt to tell me the truth, and if they don't, I give them a couple squats and a push-up, and they spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't doing that, which means there's some motive that he does not want
me to know. Is that why you pushed him so hard?
Yes, I tried pushing more. Give me some more, a little more pressure, maybe he'll just tell me what's going on. That's always worked before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that it didn't work this time tells me that there was something that he didn't want me to know.
Yeah, when he got pushed to his limit, he just die right, pass out right there, or what happened?
He went to bed and he was tired.
He went to bed and he just never woke up.
And then I came back to check on him and he wasn't breathing. I said, oh shit, what have I done? My kid's dead in my hand. They're gonna think I murdered him. I just PT'd him. He's fucking with the owl. I don't know what happened to him. And then all sorts of stuff starts tricking in my head, and that's like the other four become a victim.
Tim, have you ever heard or seen things that weren't really there?
Yes.
Interesting. We've done a case a bit like this before. Jodi Arias, she cried only for herself. It feels to me like Jones is doing the exact same thing here.
Yep. I mean, you know, the Oscar goes to. I mean, he's trying to make even just a single teardrop come. He's trying to gauge that this is what he needs to do. And in court, while he's listening to himself, he's crying. But, you know, for someone who is apparently distraught over the deaths of his children at his own hands, he doesn't even need to clear his nose even once. Now, we are over half an hour into his interview. He's been apparently crying on and off throughout, and you don't hear him sniff once. Because there is no crying, because it's just that, you know, I just didn't want to do this. And, you know, people that are actually emotional too, they let their tears fall, you know, and this is what actors do in films and stuff. Yo, don't try and hide it because you don't care. If you're in that much pain and you're crying, tears are nothing compared to what else is going on emotionally, physically, or whatever. And that's what we're seeing here, you know. And we know it's just all for show. And, you know, he then just snaps back out and he gets angry, you know. Am I hearing voices? Yes. You know, it's just like how dare you ask me that for the fifth time, because they know that they're trying to get that rise out of him.
Well, he was talking about the voices in his head. Now the agents return to Jones's mental health.
Tim, have you ever heard or seen things that weren't really there?
Yes.
If so, has this been when taking drugs?
Both, with or without drugs.
With and without drugs. What did you see or hear?
I've seen people. I've had conversations. I've started to talk with people when there's nobody in the room.
You told me shapes earlier.
I'll see shapes. That's the strangest thing. I see shapes and things that materialize that aren't real.
Has this happened while we've been talking to you tonight?
Yes.
What have you seen while you were talking to us tonight?
Well, I see people.
What kind of people do you see?
Just normal, everyday people. I don't talk to them because if you guys are going to say, start talking to me, not them, dude. If you pay attention to what's going on in my cell, I get so nutty, I start talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
He sees people, I see bullshit. Amanda, I have to say, if he was seeing and hearing things, Surely this interview wouldn't be as coherent as it's been.
Absolutely. He is completely lucid. He is conversational, and he's even pointed and rude at times during this, you know, and the responses, you know, are just taking over. You know, even his one-word answers are forceful, and he knows what's happening. If he was reacting to external stimuli or even internal stimuli, it would cause erratic behaviour and there would be nonsensical responses because he'd be listening and talking to other things. Like he says, you know, I can see him, but I'm not going to talk to them because, you know, you'd think I'm strange. You know, if he really was seeing things and everything, he would be talking to them because that is what happens. You actually respond to those stimuli, you know, but his attention is not drawn away from what he's doing. He is here to make a point, and he is the victim here, and he's just getting frustrated that they don't see that he killed these children because they were going to electrocute him.
It's interesting. I don't think the agent believes for a second this talk of seeing and hearing voices, but they do follow up with the line of questioning about his mental health, and it goes off on a very different tangent.
Did this happen the day of the crime?
Yes.
What did you see the day of the crime? Did you see people?
Oh, I think you're talking about I'm sorry, this goes back to
just the voices. Okay.
Yeah, the voices ran rampant in my head. There was no space for logic to talk. They were so loud that the logic was quiet. And
I understand. Do you have any ideas or beliefs that other people think are crazy? If so, what are they?
I'm a Freemason.
You're a Freemason? Okay.
I don't know, they probably think my thoughts about exercise are nuts, but, I mean, I tend to think people should take care of themselves.
Okay.
I'm old school in the sense that I think kids should get their ass busted by a teacher.
Okay.
I don't like the fact, and here's one of my problems. This is what the DSS was about.
Yeah.
When I grew up, I didn't worry about kids bringing guns to school and blowing the hell out of each other with a teacher. That didn't happen because there was a healthy fear, and you got corrected by parents. These day and age, kids bring guns to school because I don't think that they're corrected at home, and they take other people's lives because they got no respect for authority. I said, I will not let my kids go out and go blasting people away because I'm not teaching them to respect human life. Mm-hmm. So that was my whole motivation with the time to push them. Hey, dude, you need to tell me what you're up to, man. I need to know.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't tell me.
So you'd say your personal beliefs affect your actions?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true for everybody.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't know who wouldn't be.
You know, obviously, if you believe something, it doesn't affect your actions. You don't really believe it that much, do you?
Yeah, you say you do, but you don't, right?
Yeah. Do people ever have difficulty understanding you?
Yes.
If so, why do you think this is?
People say I'm really smart, and I talk at 100 miles an hour, and I'll go from one subject to another, and it seems random to them, but to me, it makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they've been asking about his mental health. It becomes about school shooters. But when the agent brings it back, he basically does a 180 on mental health, saying, well, he talks fast and his conversations are scattered.
Yeah, but if he's so scattered, would he have written a list of what he was going to do? If he's so scattered, is he going to hide the bodies? If he's so scattered, is he going to clean his car with bleach? If he's so scattered, is he going to cross state lines and go into here, there and everywhere, you know? He says that, he's asked if he's been diagnosed with mental health, and he says no, he doesn't need to be diagnosed because, you know, that's all of his part, you know. This is just plain and simple a man who got so caught up in himself that he becomes so disgusted when his wife fell in love with someone else, that this was his way to get back at her. This is his punishment for her. And I like how he says, people should look after themselves. At court, he's probably 250, 300 pounds. So, I mean, I'm chunky, so I can say it, but he's certainly not someone who looks lithe and does weights every day.
Okay. Now, you have done well to keep religion out of this one, but the agent does ask Jones about any suicidal ideation, and this is his response.
You say you're not suicidal at all.
If I was gonna do it, it would have already happened. No, man, I'm not willing to take that. I'll do a lot of stuff, but...
Because you said your religious beliefs.
Taking my life is not one of them.
Because what happens? You say if you kill yourself...
If you kill yourself, well, maybe nothing does happen, and maybe, Lord, I love you, maybe God's a myth and we die and we go to the ground. But if he's not, and it's real, well, if it does what it says, hell's not a very fun place. Okay. I don't think it plans on freezing over anytime soon. I don't want to go there.
Wow. So he thinks he'll go to hell for committing suicide, but not for killing his kids. That's pretty fucked up.
I'm really using restraint here because, yeah, this is like, you know, he murders children and God's going to be okay with that. But if he kills himself, God's not going to be okay
with that.
But
is this how someone like this compartmentalizes this? Because we sit here and we can say, well, hang on, there is no difference between those two things. In fact, killing someone else is worse than killing yourself, in my book.
Yep.
So how does someone like this, I mean, is it a mental disorder? We were sort of playing that down. But he does not think along the lines of other people. You know, like if you take the Bible, thou shalt not kill. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So how does he, in his head, justify the taking of lives, I mean, his own kin, for God's sake, and then draw the line at killing himself because that ends up in hell.
Yeah. It, you know, if you know, and people know my thoughts on God, but let's just say, you know, if there is a God, I would want that God to smite him. I want that God to make him burn in hell. I want someone who kills children because he doesn't like his wife for doing what she did, and she's not to blame here at all. You know, I would think that God would want him in hell because he murdered five little children. Mm. You know, but he thinks that his life is far more important than those children. That's what this comes back to. This is not about religion. This is not about mental health. This is about a spiteful narcissist who did what he wanted.
Fair enough. I've been watching Lucifer on Netflix.
I love that show.
I've only just discovered it.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
on season two.
Oh,
and
I love it.
I'd love Lucifer to get his hands on this guy. Anyway, after asking the main questions once more, Jones has asked if he has any final words. This is his response.
After everything we've gone over, what is it you'd like to say about your actions?
God, I'm sorry. Children, I love you. I hope I see you again someday if I'm worthy to. I'm sorry.
All right, and you're willing to go with us tomorrow?
I'm willing to, but I don't know where. I don't know where to look. I mean, I know the general city. I don't know exactly where. I'm willing to try. So I'm telling you, I can't. I drove around with the intention that I wasn't ever going to have to go back there and look because I was so ashamed of what I'd done. I'll try. I don't know if I'm going to help you. I'll try, though. I certainly will. Because they need a burial.
Well, at this point, Jones then ends the interview complaining that the bed in his cell is uncomfortable. After a 2-month trial, Jones was found guilty of the murders of all five children. The jury at the sentencing took little time to sentence Jones to death. He remains on South Carolina's death row, where there have been no executions since 2011. Amanda, a really interesting case. Thank you for your unique insights, as always.
Thank you. It certainly was an interesting case.
It certainly was, as they usually are. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions to help us out and get your own little rewards. We'll see you next week on Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.